Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, Mark Garagus joins us to give us an update on what's going on with the lawsuits in California and dining and schools and everything else. Dave Damaschek, always funny, on as well to talk a little Super Bowl and playoffs as well.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like a bottle of Promescent Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a Secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first 3 glorious years of the Ace Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, director Brian Fogel. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Mark Garagus drops by, and we'll talk to Dave Damaschek. And now, a man with more images in his spank bank than his parents have money in the actual bank. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Hey, I like football.
The great Dave Damaschek is going to join us a little bit later. We'll talk about what's going on with the NFL and the playoffs and the weekend and all that kind of good stuff. Mark Garagus is going to catch us up because I think California is reopening to some partial degree. It's an interest.
Well, the Restaurant Association put the heat on them. Turned the screws to them.
And Mark was all behind those lawsuits. Yeah. It was several weeks ago that he was basically told in court, and the judge said, look, you have no reason to close down outdoor dining. And the health people in Los Angeles said, yeah, I know. But
anyway,
we're going to shut it down anyway, and we're going to get a third law firm that the taxpayers can pay for to fight this thing that we have no evidence for, which is, again, scary part of government is when they go, yeah, we know, but we're doing it anyway. And there's really nothing you can do. And we have an unlimited budget for all the stuff we do. I always think about the mayor of Oakland or the vice mayor of Oakland who was like, yeah, I know those hoops that were put up in the trees at the park were put up by a black man who wanted to get his exercise. But we're just going to contact the feds and call it a hate crime and move forward with the investigation anyway.
With the investigation.
It's cleaner that way.
The investigation. The guy who did it told you he was using it for exercise.
Right. So maybe they should.
The investigation.
Maybe they should interview him first. But it is a very scary thing where they go, yeah, we have unlimited time, unlimited budget, unlimited resources, and we don't really care if we're right or wrong. We're just moving it. We're just going to move forward anyway. At a certain.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. No, well, I was gonna sadly refreshing that it came from both sides at the same time, between Newsom, you know, having no evidence to support the the restaurant lockdown and being told so in court, and then Trump with all of his filings against the election. It's like, you've got no evidence. We can't. It's refreshing that it comes from both sides, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if either one of them admitted anything, though.
No, like, no, they would never. Of course
not. No, they would never.
They got spanked in court and,
right.
and told they had no evidence.
Yeah, I think that. Well, I think Newsom is worried about his recall, I think.
I think you're right. You're
well,
right.
And the thing about that is that note, talk about extending between the aisle. Democrats hate him. They feel terrible for having elected him. Republicans hate him. And even John and Ken on KFI the other day said, get another Democrat in there. We don't care. Anybody but this guy, just anybody competent will do.
Well, a plastic owl or an empty banjo case would work nicely. As well, in terms of at least the empty banjo case doesn't give bad policy. They just give
no policy. Right.
And I was also kind of thinking about it spiritually, which is and it's happened to me. And I don't know if you guys are wired this way or not, but eating at a restaurant is much healthier than the alternative. And I'll tell you why. Because the alternative is not, I'm going to go pick a bunch of garden greens from my vegetable garden and cook it up with some skinless chicken breasts. The alternative is, we're going to go to Grubhub and get Taco Bell brought to our house.
Yeah.
And
what is open?
That's the high and low.
There is a difference between eating takeout food at home and doing it at a restaurant. I realize that when I go out... Two of the guys I most frequently go out to dinner with are Kevin Hench and Dr. Drew. And they're both militant about the whole keto thing. So when you go out to dinner with Dr. Drew or Kevin Hench, you order a steak and you order some asparagus and maybe some cream spinach. And then you eyeball the garlic mashed potatoes, but you don't go there.
Right.
You don't go there.
But you fantasize about what could be.
Right. But you're not going to do it because you're being judged and you're sitting across the table with these guys. When you're eating at home, it's bacon burgers and bathrobes. That'd be a good country song. But I mean, it's like, I'm not getting out of this fucking bathrobe. I'm just going to have the Baconator brought to the house. And if I have to decide between the fries and the onion rings, I'm going fries and onion rings.
Yeah, get both. Every meal becomes your dirty little secret.
Right. So you can sit at home and get fat in your own kiddie pool of shame, but when you go out, you tend to, people judge, so you tend to
great point.
Order slightly differently. Yes.
Does this sound bougie, or are we all on the same page at this point of no restaurants / takeout? As awesome as great as takeout is and can be, there are plenty of items, most items I would say, that by the time it gets to your house, you know what I mean? Like the quality has degraded. Like
they
might get the best steak from the best place, but by the time it's made the journey to your home and you put it on a plate and you're sitting down, it's like, this is a 45-minute old steak.
Also, when you think about it, it's some of it is the deterioration of the actual food itself, how it kind of drops down. Also, so there's a bunch of aspects. One is, fast food is fast food. Go to the drive-thru, call Grubhub, bring over the burgers. They don't degrade.
As on, Jimmy Kimmel has proven.
Right. But yeah, with his bacon, with his Canadian bacon egg McMuffin that's been on a
cork board
for a year. Yes. But there's also this, it's not only just the food and sort of what happens. You know, you buy a $60 steak and you got to rewarm it when you get to your house. And who the hell wants to zap a $60
steak? And you're cooking it more and then it's less juicy.
But there's a lot of this, too. I don't know if you guys experience this, where you go, I'll have the shrimp cocktail, which I love. I love my power move is they always give you an odd number of shrimp. I tell them to add a shrimp so we can each have three if I'm out with two instead of the five. But you get the shrimp cocktail. It's like each shrimp comes wrapped in cellophane. And then there's a plastic container for the sauce that's over here. And then there's a little horseradish over there that's in another miniature little. And then you'd start mixing in your kitchen and that whole thing. You go to Morton's. You get this shrimp cocktail. Ooh. They put the dried ice on there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's like Vincent Price sent over a shrimp cocktail. What ghoulish offering have we within this bowl? Only the witches and the warlocks know. I hold a flashlight under my head, and I look across at my table mate, and I go,
the last
oh,
man.
Yes, let the last man who reaches for the last shrimp, only the brave and the bold at heart shall participate. Yes, there's a literally the dried ice with the steam pouring off it and the whole nine yards. Yes.
And to your point, the other night I treated myself because, you know, I'm not a big takeout person because I love my cooking, but I really wanted Indian food. I love Indian food. And there was some like yogurt dip thing that I wanted, you know, whatever it was. And the guy, it's not his fault, the Grubhub driver, whoever, pulled up and my bag, the plastic bag, was leaking. I was like, what in the hell? And I dropped it over to the sink. Well, the poor people at the restaurant don't know how to keep, you know, don't have a choice how to keep that dip cold. So they did an extra bag filled with just ice, just ice cubes and put the container in there. And, you know, they're trying their best, but I got just a wet bag of food.
Gergos is on line one, the great Mark Gergos. Mark?
How are you?
I'm well,
Mark. Was that a Gina I heard frolicking with you?
Yes.
Yes, verbally frolicking.
Verbally frolicking. That's I wanna frolic back in a restaurant with Adam. That's what I want.
Oh my God.
And Gina, we would love you.
I'd love it.
Hey, so Mark, catch us up. The governor, as of today, is talking about lifting the outdoor ban. How much of that has to do with you and your lawsuit?
Well, we filed the lawsuit against the state, as I've told you or talked with you before. We prevailed against the county. Then the county order expired, and what was left was the state order. We filed against the state. We expanded the lawsuit on last Thursday to include personal services like beauty salons, hair salons, things like that. And we indicated we were going to go in for a restraining order, and lo and behold, this morning, they lifted it. So as of this minute, there is no order prohibiting outdoor dining or and allowing personal services, beauty, and barbers to be back in business. That could always go back today or tomorrow if the county of L.A. decides that they're going to quadruple down on their stupidity, which caused all of this, us to become the epicenter in the first place. But I'm hopeful that they've learned their lesson and will just slink away and go silently into the night.
Well, you know, one of the most progressive mayors in the country, Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, she recently said she thinks closing the restaurants down actually added to this as everyone went home and had people come to their home and continued eating and celebrating, but this time within their home without the safety of all the measures. And yeah, Andrew Cuomo's changed his tune as well. So we're kind of the last
and
of the Mohicans.
You'll also see that both UCSF epidemiologist and an infectious disease expert was quoted over the weekend as well. We had all kinds of declarations as well that everybody has said now that it is apparent. And by the way, newsflash, this is exactly what we ordered, and this is exactly what Judge Chalfant said back in November and then again in a written 53-page order on December 8th, which is you can't, there is no data to support this. And in fact, this is probably the reason that LA has become the epicenter and California is the worst in the nation.
So what do you realistically think is when can we here in Los Angeles go outside and eat? By the way, it was 37 degrees outside. Like it's the coldest. Now that it's as cold as it can possibly be in L.A., everyone can move out to the sidewalk.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Well, people are already doing it. They've already opened up. Because as of right now, contrary to what everybody says, the only thing that was holding back in the county of L.A. was the state order. The county order had expired. Then they revamped it so that the county order this year is no more expansive than the state order. So the only thing that would get in the way is if the Board of Supervisors today or tomorrow issues an edict shutting it back down again. Otherwise, they're ready to go. In fact, I've told clients that there is no order that prevents you from serving outside as of right now. We'll wait and see. The people who are behind this in the county of L.A., who really should be held accountable, were Mark Ridley Thomas, who's no longer on the Board of Supervisors, Hilda Solis, who I don't know what she was thinking, and the worst of the worst was Sheila Kuehl. Sheila Kuehl, besides being hypocritical, really should be held accountable, because there is an argument to be made that their order forcing down and closing down outdoor dining is what drove people indoors and what has caused this surge upon surge in Los Angeles to make us the worst in the world.
And not only that, but the stuff that's kind of hard to measure, the sort of general fog that everyone's living in. I don't know if you guys are like me, but you talk about someone's birthday's coming up in 2 weeks. What do you want to do? It's like, I don't know. What will they let us do?
Please,
I don't
not
know.
Another drive-by parade. I can't just take another one.
We just brought up last night. I wonder if friends are going to have a Super Bowl party. Probably not.
Right.
Maybe every year, but not this year.
Well, I'm going to go in the backyard and forage for grubs. You guys stand in the front yard. I'll wrap cellophane around you, and we can see if we can listen to the game on AM radio. Sound good?
We'll crank it up.
I know. I throw a Super Bowl party every year, and I don't know if there is going to be one or who's showing up or what the plan is, but I'm at least glad that the outdoor dining is open, and for Christ's sake, the salons, the hair cutting places, yeah. And that kind of stuff. Yeah. Those places
have mercy.
Should have never been closed. But what's next is schools to me. I mean, every day I leave my house, my kids are just flopped out in their bed staring at they're not really looking at the computer. They're playing video games on their phone. But, I mean, we're coming up on a year of every school-age kid in Los Angeles like literally rotting in their bedroom.
The school muscles may have atrophied.
Yeah,
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Like, can they go back to school?
I agree with Brian. I'm telling you, this is going to be hard to bounce back from. It has been so handled so abysmally. And, you know, I was just talking with a friend of mine who's a judge, was over swearing in one of my newly minted lawyers. And she was saying or asking me, well, what do you think they've done wrong here? And I said, well, to my mind, what they've done wrong is when they realized something was not working or that there was a problem or that we've never quarantined the healthy before in the, 200 years of this country, that they would be fluent and at least admit they made a mistake. And it's that nobody's ever wanted to admit that this entire year.
Well, the data started pouring in that schools were safe, teachers were safe, kids weren't really affected by it. Internationally and nationally, we had the data a long time ago that schools were safe. There is no plan in place that I'm aware of to reopen schools. At least my kids certainly are pretty dismissive of it when I bring it up. I heard something about February 15th, but you're also right. Like, things may never quite go back to normal. Like, I'm picturing a lot of school teachers wearing sweatpants and Uggs and a t-shirt with gravy on it and standing up there going, hey, listen, you want to study the Civil War or not? I'm cool.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the interesting things I've seen this morning, which is what I suspected was going to happen, it'll be interesting to see how they react, is some of, I won't even characterize their ideological underpinnings, but there is a substantial number of people who, this is their logic. They, don't bother me with the fact that, for instance, there has been multiple opportunities to show that, for instance, outdoor dining has absolutely no correlation or causation to being a vector of this disease. But now, when the governor issues the order opening up, people, there's a certain segment, you know who they are, freaking out. Oh, my God, we're in an ICU crisis, we're in a hospital crisis, and they opened up outdoor dining. And it's like, well, wait a second here. Do you understand that the reason that we became the epicenter in the first place is absolutely causally tied to when they shut it down? But that doesn't bother them. Or do you remember when they were predicting that Christmas and New Year's was going to cause a surge upon surge, and the opposite happened. You know, none of that gets through the fog.
Well, it's an interesting thing, a psychological dynamic, which is the longer schools are closed, the easier it is to keep schools closed. Now, it seems now the novelty would be having open schools. You know what I mean? Like that feels like
that's the push.
We're going against the norm in opening schools. And then a lot of it is there. I think there's two things working here. There's the superstitious native, throw the virgin in the volcano so we can get a better crop yield this year. And then the other one is is this sort of, this is what I announced 3 months ago. I was wrong, but I will never take a step back or admit I was wrong. I'm sticking with this. And a lot of this stuff, reopening schools and outdoor dining and hair salons and even indoor dining, is essentially you asking these people who never say they're sorry to say they're sorry and who never admit they're wrong. Because when you live in the real world and you deal with the private sector, you can cling on to your cockamamie themes until the world ends, but you're going to go broke doing it.
Right.
These people.
It's exactly right. There's consequences.
There's consequences. These people in the city council, it doesn't really matter. They can just go hire a fourth law firm and squander more taxpayer money. I mean, I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of dollars they squandered fighting your case when they had no case.
Yeah. And they didn't think anything of it. By the way, how embarrassing must it be? How would you, and apparently, Adam, I don't know when this episode drops, but I was just, they're texting me as we speak that the county is going to have a press conference in about 35 minutes.
Of course, so they love a press conference.
God knows what they're going to say, but that'll be interesting to see at 2 o'clock.
Brian?
Well, speaking of which, Mark, I have a question for you. So let's assume, best case scenario, that the stay-at-home orders remain lifted. We can resume outdoor dining. It's not just game on, I assume. I assume that the restaurants will probably have to adhere to the regulations set forth previously, like, you know, whatever the 6 foot. Is
correct.
That how it works?
Yeah. They would. You'd still have to adhere to the restrictions of, and you would want to anyway. I mean, I don't want to sit in a table in a, God forbid, one of those little yurt tents or yurt things with 100 different people. But the whole idea is if you want to see somebody and you want to socialize and you want to do it periodically, you just sit with a party under six feet away from another party, and you do it, and you don't go crazy. And by the way, maybe you adhere to some of Vinny's advice, because I keep calling this the Vinny virus. I mean, there's all kinds of evidence and data that shows that if for the last year we've been encouraging people to actually get various degrees of their health improved, that might have increased the results as well. And by the way, it might make some sense as we've got doses of the vaccine expiring on a daily basis to take them over to assisted living centers, which are under 5% vaccinated and are accounting for over 70% of the deaths. That might be a good idea, too.
Well, yes, go ahead, Gina.
Sorry, can I just make I haven't heard of this happening in California, and I really hope it does. I can tell you in Kansas and in other parts of the country, when they, you know, some of the doses, I think it's Pfizer is the one that you have to keep it like sub frozen. Right. So when they get first responders together and vaccinate them, if they're our extra doses, the clock is ticking. So what they do, or what I can say in my experience they've done, is they put sort of the feelers out to anyone over 65 and say, come down right now and get this vaccine. And I'm lucky to say that my mom got to be one of those people, because they said, we have extra and they are thawing. Come down now. So I haven't heard of anyone doing that in California, as opposed to just throwing them in the trash.
I read something I think over the weekend as we were preparing the restraining order against the state, that we are ranked somewhere between 45th and 50th for our vaccine rollout. How embarrassing is that?
It's disgusting.
I mean, it's just, we're not only the epicenter, but were literally, we're the dunces in the back of the class that doesn't go to school and can't even figure that out.
Well, I bet if we challenged, you know, four months ago, we got hold of Elon Musk before he fled the state and said, you, my friend, are in charge of these vaccinations. I want you and your SpaceX team to figure out the most efficient way to do this. I think we can all prognosticate that would have been a much more efficient way to do it. But once again, what Gina's talking about is like a private sector solution, right? So if you had a business and your business was vaccinating people, you would never throw away inventory. But if you didn't pay for the vaccinations and you didn't really give a shit about your clientele, then you would. And that's kind of what LA is and what California is. They're just sort of the least private sector thinking state in the union. Last word, Mark.
Now, the last word is hopefully the Board of Supes does the right thing and understands they don't have to save face, so to speak, and kill more people by idiotic decisions. That's all I got to say. And wish you well, Adam, and let's frolic outdoors soon.
Please. By the way, 10 E's, the restaurant out here, and also Engine Company number 20. I've been to both. They're both fantastic. Mark Garagos, thank you very much.
Bye, Gina. Bye, Bald.
Bye,
Adam.
So long.
Oh, and we forgot to congratulate Mark on the marvelous Mrs. Maisel property.
Oh.
That was in the news. Did you see that?
Right.
Who's going to the Catskills?
Yeah, he got all that acreage out there. I was talking to him about that off the air. I think you've shown me pictures of that. Yes.
Sure, it's glorious.
Yep. He's just, you know, listen. You gotta launder all that cap money. You gotta do it somewhere.
That's right.
You
know? Yeah. Right.
You only give so much to Lasswood Bald Brian. You gotta start buying property.
That's right. All right. Well, we'll talk some NFL with Dave Damashek. I have thoughts. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back with the great Dave Damashek talking a little sports right after this.
Now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Anchorage, Alaska. A 37-year-old man was charged with assault after he bit a cab driver and then attacked him in a gas station parking lot with bolt cutters. Definitely not a Jew.
We're going to have Brian with a Y. What? Fogle joining us. He's the guy who did Icarus, and that was a great documentary.
Won
the Academy Award. Right. Mm-hmm. He starred in it too. Right.
Oh God, I don't know. I can't say. Maybe I don't remember that.
I
thought it was all archival and animation, but was he?
Nah, maybe. I'm screwing up my docs these days.
I could be wrong. I saw it once 2 years ago or 3 years ago and don't remember. But it was great. I remember it being really, really, really good.
Was he in Icarus? You got to check Max Zapata or Brian. We'll talk to Sheck as well. Or am I screwing that up and making that up? I got to start doing more show prep. I thought
you could be right. I don't remember that specifically.
But am I making we'll find out if he was in. But wait, tell me the theme to Icarus, Brian.
Icarus was the one about the Russian doping scandal where they went undercover but there was stories of going undercover like into the Russian labs and like
right. But didn't he undergo the doping himself? Oh no.
I don't remember that plot point.
All right. Something's wrong with me.
It's possible I don't remember.
Yeah, I think you would remember, though. I think I feel like you. I feel wrong in this situation. I thought he
would find out soon enough.
I thought he was training and redoing involved with it himself. Wait, read the slug line.
Yeah. So while investigating the furtive world of illegal doping in sports, Brian Fogle connects with Russian scientist Grigory Rodchenkov, the director of Russia's National Anti-Doping Lab.
Yeah,
based on the synopsis, it sounds like Brian was involved. I haven't seen Icarus, so
All right. Well, keep reading. Because then I think he then started doing it himself to like participate in a cycling race or something like that. Or
that does sound kind of familiar now that I think about it. I remember the Russian doctor very well, that he was a big part of the movie.
Yeah, it says as Fogel continues his training. They become friends. So, yeah, it does sound like Fogel is in.
All right.
Is featured in it.
Thanks for the crazy pills, Brian. Dave Namashek is here. Here to talk a little football with Sheck. Good to see you, Sheck.
Unmute.
Sheck. This is my favorite version of Sheck.
Sheck is...
Louis. Sorry. Listen, I got so excited. You guys are talking about Tom Brady's on the dope. Is that what he's
no.
on? He's not. He's
That's
juiced
not.
It?
Uh-uh.
Is that the, what
it
you were...
heavily implied.
He,
I thought...
The game is... I told my son before the Bills game against Geno's Chiefs, no chance for the Bills, no way. But the Tampa Bay game was a bit of an upset, I would say. All right? So let's talk about the big play in the Green Bay game. Everyone's mad.
Ooh, I don't know which is the big play. It felt like there were like 17 different plays that people are very upset about still.
They're upset about the coach not going for it on fourth down.
Right.
Now, they're upset about taking the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. I would argue that Aaron Rodgers could have helped his case a lot if he just tucked it in and ran on that third down play. Even if he got to the 3 or 4 yard line, that's a much easier putt than fourth and nine, and him trying to stuff the ball in between double coverage was just a bad decision on his part. And I think the coach kind of did it a little bit based on that. And if he just tucked it and ran, he may have scored, but he probably would have been stopped inside the five. But then that's a much easier fourth down conversion. Sheck, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I felt like Rodgers outplayed Tom Brady, who nevertheless we have to anoint the all-time GOAT, not just in football, but in all-time sports, I think. I think he's now ahead of Michael Jordan, and I don't know, people have tweeted at me, no, you're forgetting about blank soccer player. I'm like, get out of my way.
Wait, didn't Bill Russell win 9 straight championships?
I'm sorry. I didn't answer Ace's question, and now I've opened it up for Wiseacre ball to
well,
jump
not a Wiseacre. That's
Bill,
not, that's
Bill
a
Russell
fact. Jive.
Bill Russell played in a – I mean, that was 50-something years ago at a time when there were 8 total teams in pro basketball.
They had a Will Chamberlain.
That shows you how important pro basketball was in that era. There were 8 total teams in it, and they only played 2 rounds. This lionizing of old people – Bill Russell was great, but let's not get crazy about how tough it was to win a title when Bill Russell won those titles. Anyway, Ace, yes, that's the answer. You're exactly right. We can bellyache about LaFleur kicking the field goal, and there's a debate to be had, and he probably should have gone for it. But yes, Aaron Rodgers, you're underselling it. He should have run the ball into the end zone. Nobody, it's not like it's Tom Brady or Phil Rivers or Ben Roethlisberger running with the ball. Aaron Rodgers can move. He would have scored a touchdown had he taken off. I don't know what he saw that made him try to jam that ball in there on third down, but he says that he thought that LaFleur was going to go for it on fourth down. I like that idea, throwing the coach under the bus. Yes, Aaron, we're supposed to buy that you were processing all that. Like, I could run it, but I'm going to throw it on the assumption we'll go for it on fourth down, so I'm going to let it fly here. Now, all that was going on in your head in the 0.2 seconds that all was going on? Yes, he should have scored a touchdown by running it in.
I agree. And the only reason I don't say – And it bothers me sometimes when people go, he would have scored. He would have scored easy.
Yeah.
The NFL defense, they're so fast. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you seen a guy look like he had a free lane to the end zone and some 4-3 guy just lit him up? Like, they close so fast. That door slams shut so fast once they figure out you're running.
It's true.
Also, the thing that's crazy about the NFL is a guy will be at the 2 yard line with a full head of steam. He's like, oh, he's just going to barrel into it. No, he is not barreling into the end zone. Right. He's going to get lit up. So I don't know if he would have scored. He would have got inside the 4. Well,
if you, yeah, oh yeah, if you could look at it, you know, everybody has seen the replay a bunch of times. We see it up in front of us right now. I mean, there's just nothing in front of Aaron Rodgers. I hear you that those defenders can close you out pretty fast, but at minimum, he gets down to like the one, so it's fourth and goal from the one.
I agree.
With the game on the line.
Yeah, and also they do a lot of like he should have won for it. Like I don't know what the percentage is on fourth and nine and a 2-point conversion, but that's a pretty low, percentage.
I invoke it all the time. One of your most enduring sorts of hypothetical things that you have thrown out is what would the other team not want you to do? That
is really, I thought the exact same thing at the exact same moment.
It is exactly right.
What would they not want them to do right now?
What is it that the other team fears you doing more? Do that. That's what you should do. And yeah. That you said that forever ago, and it really is the math that should be applied. And do we feel like the way things are going based on the way our guys are going versus theirs in this city, what do they think is a bad move? That's what we should be doing to
them,
right?
Also, their defense could have got a stop. I mean, it was, you know, third and longish. They got called for defensive holding. The flag came in super late. I don't know where you guys are at with this, but what happened to uncatchable ball? I feel like
that's right.
That
you barely see that. Yes, that signal that, you know, ball's uncatchable or whatever.
Well, when you saw it, so it's third and I don't know what it is, 7, 8, 9 or whatever. The receiver does the slant. The defensive back grabs the end of the jersey and kind of stretches it out. It's probably more visually damning than it is sort of practically damning, but the ref sees the guy's outstretched jersey. You definitely have some defensive holding there, but the ball sailed. I mean, that ball really sailed. And in a situation like that with so much on the line, I would have liked them to examine whether they thought that ball would be catchable, because that was the end of the game right there. And the ball seemed uncatchable, and they have the rule. I don't know why they didn't.
Exactly right.
Break
you
it down.
You said the same thing. You said the same thing I said in the moment. Like, all right, fine. So he grabbed them one. And as everybody else has pointed out, there were a number of times you could have called PI during the game. But all of a sudden, with 2 minutes left, that's when you decide to flag it. But right. The bigger issue to me was there's no way he could have caught that ball. So what are we even looking at there?
Do you guys think, I'll throw this out there, with the advent of Odell Beckham Jr. and et al., all of the incredible one-handed catches and just how the hell did he do that? Like nowadays, they're so reticent to even call uncatchable, because what's uncatchable these days? Fucking Odell fell backwards with a one-handed catch.
No, you do have to recalibrate what would have been catchable when we were growing up versus what is catchable now.
Right.
I'll tell you, if kids are listening, I'll tell you what is catchable. COVID-19. Mask up.
Oh, wow.
6-foot distance.
That's right.
Yeah. Important we'll watch the play and we'll try to figure it out.
You know what? Gina's our replay gimp. Gina, is this ball catchable?
All right.
By an elite athlete.
Gets tugged on there.
I mean, the ball's over his head. I got to give Gina a shout out, too, because I said, you know, Antonio Brown is not in his prime, but he's still dangerous, especially if he gets singled up by the Packers secondary. And she said, he may be down, but watch out for Tyler Johnson. That kid also is
out of nowhere.
Well, I don't text
you
often.
Right,
but yeah, no, sometimes I just got to make sure we're on the same page.
You saw I tweeted that and you're like, hey, yeah, be careful.
I don't want to embarrass you in front of everyone publicly, but just know this.
Yeah.
I appreciated that though. Yeah.
My feeling is at this particular point in this particular game, we could stop and at least have a civil discussion on whether this was a catchable ball or not.
How long must we continue? I mean, and by the way, just quickly, a shout out to your previous point. I love one of the worst cliches going that never ends and through the generations now. If a ball touches a defender's hands, that guy, by definition, if he would have held on to that one, he'd still be running.
Yeah,
that was 6 points. There's never a chance that the guy would have ever gotten tackled. There's no way he would have got. He wants that one back, because if he caught that one, that's six going the other way. But Yeah,
that guy was not used to running with the ball. He would never have been tackled.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He would have done. But yes, how long must we entertain this bizarre reality in which here's the worst thing that ever happened to referees. HGTV combined with replays and everything else, because it is sadly ironic that millions upon millions of people are watching every one of these games and poring over every 1/100th of a second of it. And we all see what the correct call is. The only people who don't know the correct call are the 7 to 10 octogenarians in striped shirts on the what are we doing? Why can't somebody just be like, well, that would take too long. Then the games would be 7 hours long if you replayed everything. No, it wouldn't. We sit on the couch and watch games and go like, oh no, that he was in bounds there. It took 2 seconds to divine that was true. All you go is like, somebody's like, I don't care. It could be me. I'll let Corolla do it. I mean, bald, maybe not as much, but anyway, so somebody who's trustworthy, sure, just go like, no, that was an uncatchable ball. Okay, uncatchable ball. Next play. Like, well, that's simple as that. What's this all nonsense? Like, we have to, well, that's not reviewable, and therefore, like, what are we doing?
Well, let's also review this, the general concept of it would make the games too long. First off, that's like saying, well, if the stripper stops in the middle of the lap dance to talk to her manager, it's going to take 45 minutes for her to give it. It's like, all right, so be it. I'm at the club. I'll order another drink. I'm just sitting around eating junk food in my sweatpants. I hope this shit goes on till midnight. I like the idea. I wish it never ended. You know what's going on? You know what you get when it goes on too long? You get the fucking off season where we all want to kill ourselves. Like, I would be fine if an NFL Sunday, instead of lasting 7.5 hours, lasted 9 hours. That's just more foreplay.
Wait, I'm going to have to drink an extra beer, 3? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's
humanity.
And nachos while we're at, I mean, this is going too far.
Reviews and stoppages mean more commercial breaks. Who in the NFL would be opposed to that?
I don't know. I can put off the beating of my children after the Rams lose for another hour if it means getting the call right.
Here's the other thing that is hard, that bends your brain, talking about looking at trusting your eyes and all that. Here's the thing that makes it hard with Tom Brady is, you know, I mean, he wasn't the best quarterback on the field against the Packers on Sunday, let alone a lot of the games you watch Tom Brady play. And yet he's the best to ever do it. I mean, he can't run. I could beat him in a foot race. Literally, I can beat the greatest football player in the history of people in a foot race, and yet he's the greatest of all time. That bends the brain a little bit. It doesn't make any sense.
But it is kind of what we love about the game, because of all the amazing athletes who have, all the guys that have showed up since Brady made the league, who could bench 100 pounds more than he could bench and do 10 more reps, who were a second faster on their 40 time, who ball velocity was greater, who could throw the ball deeper, like who had better lateral moves and running moves, and who would do the shuttle course in 10 minutes faster than everybody. All the hundreds of amazing guys who have completely flamed out during his 20-some-odd years in the league. We do kind of like that hope that if you study really hard and you bang an international supermodel and you eat avocado flavored sorbet, that you too one day could realize this heights. Dream. Yeah. Cause it is crazy that almost every quarterback he takes the field with would beat him. They would all beat him in a foot race, and they're all bench more. And they would all squat
and better
more.
Arms and everything else. A lot of them. Yeah. You know what it is? Maybe it's the inspiration of seeing Bald Brian looking back at me here, you know, to make a cinematic comparison. Right. He's our Dr. Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jones isn't stronger than anybody else. Mm. He doesn't have the resources that his foes have. And yet he keeps on winning. He's able to beat the bald headed Nazi scourge in that fist fight next to the propellers. A little bit of luck is involved there, but Dr. Jones does see those propellers coming, and the big Nazi bully doesn't, and he gets chopped up, much like the Green Bay Packers just did.
Yeah, wow. Very good analogy. Very well apt said. Analogy.
Dave, I read that analysis from 10 or 12 other analysts on Twitter this morning.
Yeah, Jason Whitlock tweeted that out earlier today.
Adam Schefter had a whole thing. Yeah.
All right, so now we got the Bucks and we got Casey. I haven't checked, but Casey, that game from pretty early on wasn't really in question. Casey was going to win that game. Casey looked far superior. I got to believe they're four and a half point favorites going into this thing.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Three.
I think that's, do you think that's going to move? I think that's going to move.
Sal, you remember Sal from
Cousin
the Man
Sal.
Show.
That's right.
Yeah.
What happened
right.
to that kid?
Well, he, as it happens, he and I are now doing a podcast that focuses on sports and gambling and mirth.
When's that going to launch?
It's been going all season, football season.
This season?
This year?
No. Yeah. The season that still like has one more game. But then we're going to keep on doing it, though, too.
Minus three?
That's also a show. Well, one's called Extra Points. That's the one I do with Cousin Sal.
Okay.
And then Charlotte Wilder. And then Jeff Schwartz and I do Minus Three. They're both there. They've been up and running for multiple weeks now. I encourage
you. You don't say.
Good for you.
Yeah, no. Well, thank you. Fingers crossed. We hope we can keep
this
it going.
Behind a paywall?
No. You can just jump in, check it out whenever you want to. You know, you can find it
where you find like good podcasts or other podcasts.
Which
wherever
category?
You find the good podcasts, uh-huh. If you look, you'll also find Extra Points.
Oh, okay, good. They let you guys in. That's look, great. Man. That's fantastic.
But yeah, he was explaining to me, do you remember that old Sopranos episode where Chris Moltisanti is making book, and there was the one and he sets the line wrong because he's trying to find the middle, and he gets it wrong, and he costs some thousands of dollars, or whatever.
He's a little light with Paulie that week.
Gina, right. Gina, there's your time to shine.
Yeah, now I can step in.
A little light. Yes. That is, Sal says that's, he's like, if they open it, if at 3.5, that hook, the half point, makes it scary to bet the other side. And he has a whole thing. It's like, it's not just that they suspect at this point that it's going to be a 3-point difference. They're trying to draw in bettors on both sides to get the middle. This is what Sal explained to me. But yeah, I mean, I think this is pretty close. At first blush, you think, oh man, the Chiefs, when you watch them and they're cooking, like who's going to stop them? And then you kind of break it down. Are the Chiefs really going to be able to, that defense is good on Tampa Bay. And the best player that the Chiefs seem to have is Travis Kelce. And Tampa Bay has those fast linebackers who can kind of probably run a little bit with Travis Kelce. I'll take the Chiefs, but I mean, how many times are you going to bet against Tom Brady before you learn your lesson? I'm talking to myself when I ask that question.
Well, not so far.
I think a lot of it is so many of the Super Bowls lately have been fairly close affairs, you know. So people shave a point or two. If this was game 8 in the middle of the season, the Chiefs would be 5.5 points or something. Yeah. But they think it's the Super Bowl and it's Brady. Brady threw 3 picks, and they will get to Brady. You know, I feel like they can get to Brady. Maybe he throws a pick or two. I think this could be the Chiefs. I think this could be a big kind of Chiefs win. And also, what's the speedster on the Chiefs name?
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill blows up the entire defense every time because most speedsters, you have to watch out that they get behind you in the secondary, you know. So most speedsters are like, go out on this guy, check him off the line, have a safety playing center field, do not let this guy get behind you. He's got wheels, he's too fast. Tyreek Hill changes the game because he does a 5-yard hook turnaround. Yeah. They throw it right to him. He shakes and bakes the first guy. And if he gets any kind of daylight whatsoever, he just takes off. They don't have to use his speed to send him deep and to stretch the field. They just check down to him. And then because he's so goddamn fast, when you check down to him, you can't commit to him. So if it's if it's third and six and he does a 4-yard button hook and they throw it to him, you can't just go at him and stuff him saying you're not going to move the chains. You have to get back and get square with him and hope he doesn't get around you. But meanwhile, he's moving the chains.
It's like, again, I'll defer to you, Ace, on the car stuff, but it's not like he gets into gear, like has to work to get to Top Gear. He's instantly running faster than maybe like two or three human beings are capable of moving with his first step. It's crazy to look at. It looks surreal almost to the eyeball. Most people, like, it takes them like 1 to 3 strides. And in the case of Dave Damashek, you never get up to full speed, but or to normal human being speed. But like Tyreek Hill's the opposite. As his first step, it's like he's grease lightning. There's nothing you can do with it. And that's on a football field where, as you say, these guys are so fast. It's weird. I don't know what's weirder, that Tom Brady can shine with all these superhuman athletes out there, or that a guy like Tyreek Hill or, let's say, Lamar Jackson, when they run away from guys that are that fast, I don't know what boggles the mind more for me, but that it is something to watch Tyreek Hill run.
So they are diabolical, your Chiefs, that is, Gina, and that most the teams that have the undersized speedster, that's great, but when it's third and four, you don't really need to worry about them moving the chains per se, because that's where the big tight end comes in or the big possession type receiver comes in. But they use him on all the short stuff and they move the chains with that guy, just like they did at the end of the Titans game the week before?
Cleveland.
Or Cleveland. Ago, yeah. Sorry, the Cleveland right. game. Like, they put him in motion. Nobody can stay with him. And thus, and he's got great hands for a speedster. I mean, sometimes they give up a little on the hands. I know, Gina, you're thinking of Willie Gault. I'm agreeing with you. They give up a little on the hands.
I just texted Chris. I don't know if you put it up yet.
Sorry. That was it. So he's got great hands. They're just going to use him to move the chains. And when you focus too much attention on him, that's where Kelce kicks in. I can't see them stopping. I mean, this could be a 28-17 type game. We're pretty
spoiled.
Easily.
We're very spoiled with this. We have gone through a long stretch. I mean, the Peyton Manning versus Cam Newton Super Bowl wasn't that good. Last year's was pretty good. It had some dull moments, but for the most part, we don't see. It used to be for like a decade or 15 years, blowouts every year. It was just always a housing for some reason. And now we've gotten spoiled with good ones. But like Gina said, like, to your point, Ace, like she said, she texted me again. She said, like, Tyreek Hill is no Ronaldo Nehemiah. She said, just because Ron Brown is fast, that doesn't, because you put a football uniform on him, doesn't make him a football player.
And I used like, a lot of emojis. I was afraid you weren't going to be able to figure it out. It was just fast.
Yeah, no. It was a keen point you made, the way you really traversed the generations of football.
You know, I have a question, and this is possibly a layman's question. It's just more of kind of the zeitgeist of what the rest of us know about football. How embarrassed/pissed is Belichick/ the Patriots? Yeah. How humiliating is this for
them? Good.
I mean, wouldn't you take this pretty personally?
Well, the beauty is, because it's Belichick, we'll never know how personally embarrassed he was, because he will not speak into a microphone. Right. We got to really, well, there's two things. I had a couple of belts, and me and my son watched the games over the weekend, and I yelled at him that defense was about putting hats on balls and the NFL was about putting fannies in seats. And he was annoyed by it the first like 2,000 times I said it. But eventually, I think he started to look forward to it as he closed his door and headed in his room.
You won him over with the coffin corner.
Yes. Now, let's talk about the most important part of this whole Super Bowl is it the Allstate commercial where you got the what's the insurance commercial where the guy is Aaron Rodgers?
Crazy that we don't know. I'm with you. I think I'm pretty sure because you said it, something.
Aaron Rodgers is State Farm.
Oh, State Farm. And then who else is on State Farm?
Mahomes.
Mahomes.
And Mayfield is what, Progressive or some shit?
Right. All right.
Something.
You guys riddle me this. I've seen this commercial 15 times. I was yelling this at Sonny in between Fannies and Seats and Hats on Balls, which is they keep running the Mahomes discount if everyone gets the same haircut he gets. So they're at the barber shop. Mahomes is getting his hair cut, and you see the four or five young men that are all sitting around, and they have all got the Mahomes haircut, but they find out that they State Farm gives the discount to everyone, regardless of whether they know Mahomes or their hair resembles Mahomes. I would argue, if in fact I did find out that State Farm actually gave you a discount based on having a fade haircut, I would immediately switch all my policies to State Farm. I like that. I like that kind of thinking. But I'm saying, I've seen that commercial 2,000 times. Why are all the guys sitting and waiting at the barbershop if, in fact, they already got the haircut?
Sure. Mm. They got to have attended to, I guess. I'm not the guy to talk about haircuts, but I think you have to have them maintained from time to time. Dave, take it away.
I feel like y'all just went through it. You find that commercial.
Take it away.
And if you want to make it funny, put one woman in there that got the fade as well, right? They're all sitting around, and they all seem like 19-year-old boys.
Is it a black barbershop culture thing that, like, you hang out after the haircut and, you know, hang out?
Maybe that's what we're supposed to take from it.
We're the wrong people to answer that question.
Yeah, no, I saw that LeBron series on HBO. Yeah. I know that all black people and Jon Stewart hang out in black barbershop.
That's what
I'm saying. If I may, this commercial bothered me for one reason, and the only one is, how many 19-year-old kids did you know when you were 19 who were aggressively shopping for insurance?
Yeah.
Ray's the only one I can say did that.
Another flaw with this commercial, they're all disappointed. It's like, it's a little insulting to Mahomes. It's like, they're all pretty disappointed to learn that they got the haircut for nothing. It's like, he should be your idol.
Yeah, you're right.
You should want to do it anyway.
What do we call him, Mahomes? He walks around every day that way. No insurance break whatsoever.
The implication is, oh, I got this stupid haircut for nothing, but please don't call your marquee endorser a stupid haircut.
Yeah, let's play that. We'll play that commercial. Let's see. It's the Patrick Mahomes at the barber shop.
You're saying you don't have to look like me to get the Patrick price?
No. State Farm offers everyone surprisingly great rates.
And he'll grow back, I promise.
I can't believe I did this.
The subject is, this is a stupid haircut.
My bad.
When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's a weird...
People like when you can make fun of yourself. It makes Patrick Mahomes look affable.
I know, but it's here. You be Patrick Mahomes, Brian. I'll be your agent. Hey, good news.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Got State Farm on line three. They want to sign you up for a sweet, sweet contract. Light lifting.
milk them for all they got. That's what the Jews are good for.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, my last name is Scheinberg. So anyway, Patrick.
I did the math.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to put that aside because for Jews, we're focused much more on money than we do on pride. So, wait a minute. I think I just knocked myself. All right. Anyway.
You made my point.
Yeah. You know how your head looks really lame?
Is this a comeback for the Jew thing?
No. I'm just saying they have a premise. I want to pitch you the premise.
Oh, okay. Wait. How one's head looks really lame?
No. Your retarded haircut. Please. I can't be the first person
to
bring this up.
You're talking about the Mahomes? I'm sporting the Mahomes? Are you talking this retarded haircut?
Yeah, with no discount on your automotive policy whatsoever.
Why would I want to highlight how stupid this is?
Well, for the money. I mean, so listen, I'm not the creative. I don't handle the creative on this. It was pitched to me. I thought it worked. I said I'd take it to you. It's light lifting. It's good cash. It's an afternoon. We can do it in town. We'll do it during the off season. So, you know how you have this bizarre and fucked up hairdo?
I would say unique, but okay. I'm going to give you the premise.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I don't want it to be pejorative here. But you know how no young person would want to share your hairdo?
I don't know that. I see a lot of my fans supporting the same dude.
It's going to be a confusing pitch. Yeah. Anyway, we're in a black barbershop. Not too black. Okay. And not a, you know, it's kind of non-threatening, but we're in a black barbershop, right?
Multicultural.
Yeah, except for all black. Okay.
That's what Mahomes is all about.
Right, 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 right. And you're getting your hair cut, right? You're actually doing that thing you do for free that you think looks cool that offers you no discount on your auto policy.
Signature sweet haircut, yeah.
Okay. Right, right. And so there's a bunch of young 19-year-old guys that are in there, right?
Okay. Yep, fans of mine, obviously.
Right. And unbeknownst to them, they went along with your super lame haircut, thinking that we're going to get a break from State Farm, but as it turns out, State Farm offers a break to everybody, regardless of the super confusing, bizarre, and visually unappealing haircut.
Right. Is this you editorializing about my hair, giving your true feelings, or is this part of the pitch?
You know what? This I'm paraphrasing the this is a creative. It was given to me by the creative team. That's all.
I have a hard time believing that the people that gave me $40 million to endorse their product put in the pitch that my haircut was super stupid.
I don't know if they used the word stupid or lame or retarded. Let's
or
not
pejorative. Let's not get mired in the muck.
Yeah. When did you learn the meaning of the word pejorative?
Just now when you said it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you said it about 30 seconds ago.
Because I know college was sort of, you know.
It was a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah, I'm saying it was a good time for you. I mean, being a star athlete and all. Right. Anyway, God bless you for stealing my words.
You know.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, let's not get mired in this. All I'm saying is do not let your head grow out to look like a normal citizen, okay? Whatever you do.
Don't worry about that. No, don't worry about that.
Right. And then, well, of course, hire some actors, young actors, to play your young proteges who want to get the discount on the haircut. And obviously, we're going to have to pay them a bump because they're going to have to walk around with this insane tuft of hair stuck to the top of their head for the next 6 months until it grows out. And they look like a normal citizen.
Is this from the brief? I can't imagine the client would give this to us.
It's a half page. I'm paraphrasing. I'm a pretty good talker. That's why I get you the big bucks.
My only contract writer item is please strike the mean things they said about
All right. And you know how you hate ketchup on your steak?
God, do I.
We're also going to make you look like an insane person when we do another one with Aaron Rodgers, who's just going to sit there and eat his vegetables. And we need you to take that ketchup container and go full bukkake on that steak, all right?
That's not Mahomes.
Right, right. That's a guy with a hair that crazy would obviously want to drown his T-bone in ketchup, obviously. You're that insane.
I got to get ready for the Super Bowl. This is taking way too long.
Are they having that this year? Hey, good luck. I'm going to hammer things out with the folks over at State Farm.
You are my agent. You should really know what game I'm playing, especially the biggest game of the year.
You wear a helmet with that Super Bowl?
Of course.
Make sure it doesn't screw up your insane hairdo. Okay? And scene. All right. Thank you.
I'd like to see Bald wearing the Mahomes.
I would, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm interested in.
Dave, I would like to see that.
Would you get on that, please?
For the rest of your life now. Even when you're 78 years old, if you get the Mahomes, you must keep it for the rest of your days, or do you go bald?
That's too big a commitment. I go bald. I would support the Mahomes for up to a year.
Ace could do it.
I could do it later day. All right, Brian Fogel is on hold. He's a big-time director and producer and writer and documentarian. So we want to check -3, the pod, extra points with Cousin Sal is going to be on Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get the podcast, and shoot him a tweet, at Damashek. Thanks, Dave Damashek. Always funny.
What a pleasure. Always a pleasure, fellas and lady. Be well.
All right. The man who won the Academy Award for Best Documentary in 2018 for Icarus is on hold. Take a quick break. Be back to talk to him about his new doc right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.